welcome to In The Game, Qatar's first sports podcast. And it's like every other show, we have a special, special guest on. And it really is a special guest. And I'm honoured and privileged that we've got Nick Lewis. And Nick Lewis, I'm sure in Qatar, nobody's going to know Nick, but you are a legend when it comes to Canadian football.
Yes, yes. You know what? Thank you for sharing your podcast with me and allowing me to come on here. It's awesome. And what's up, everybody in Qatar?
Yeah, thank you so much. And you're a legend in Canada for and I've got to get this right, a slot back. You were a slot back and, yes. And in Canadian football.
Yes, so slot back in Canadian football is, you know, just like a slot receiver in the American game. And a couple differences, but it really fit my skill set, and it was good.
And you've done, there were some I was reading about, and I've done some research, but there was, and we're going to get into so much more details in a minute. This is a nice way to start off. But you were, your record receive is 85 yards, am I correct? I was just reading online.
Yeah, so my longest catch was 85 yard touchdown. I've had two of those, and yeah, it was pretty, you know, a lot of people didn't think I'd go 85, but I did early in my career. It was good. So
that's a long, long way.
It is a long way. The good thing about football is if you score, you get to rest, right? So it doesn't matter if it takes 12 plays or one play. If you score, you get to rest. So you get a little rest to catch your air back and get ready to go back on the field.
And is who takes the credit for that 85 yards? Is it you for doing the catch or is it the quarterback?
Both of my catches were pretty short passes, so I think I'll take the credit on them.
So you ran the pitch.
Yeah, so the first one, I ran like a little stop and go, and the DB jumped the stop route, and when I ran past him, I caught it. The safety came over the top, so I kind of broke two tackles, spun out of it, and then outran everybody for the touchdown. And then, the second one was about the same. I caught an out route and ran down the sideline for 85 yards, so it was good.
You must have been fast.
I always say it depends what you compare me to. We're talking about me compared to a turtle, I'm really fast. If it's me compared to a cheetah, I'm not very fast. No, there's a lot of guys out there with a little bit faster than I was, but I could run well enough to make a play.
Yeah. Okay, so let's take you back. When did you realize that sport was going to be a massive part? Even if it is five, when did you realize that you had something special?
I didn't. I think everybody else seen it in me. I was just very competitive as a kid growing up. I spend a lot of time by myself shooting baskets, always counting down 3, 2, 1, shoot the basket, throwing the ball up in there, making the catch. My granddad just hit me baseballs, and I would go and do that to be a part of that, to interact and catch the baseball and do everything. So I don't know if there was ever a moment in my childhood where I could just realize that, hey, you know what? This football thing is going to work out great.
Yeah. And was it, I know that I know because I've watched some of the videos and some of your interviews and you talked about your grandfather. They were, your family and friends were everything with your career growing up, right?
Yes. And they still are, you know, you represent the, you know, just looking into my screen right now and seeing that Lewis on the back of my jersey, that name means so much to me because of the people that came before me, what they sacrificed to allow me to do it. Without their sacrifices, like of my grandparents, my parents, my family, my close friends, they've all sacrificed time or effort and different things in their lives for me to grow to be who I was, but also to allow me to play pro football for 14 years.
But you're going to be a Hall of Famer. Okay, that's not a small thing. That's huge.
You know, Steve, the cool thing about that is it's not about me. That's about them. That's theirs. I had my 14 years. That Hall of Fame is theirs. That day we all get to go in together, right? Oh, I just get to be the representative, but that's completely theirs. That's my thank you to them.
And that really does – epitomize everything that I thought about with you. I saw you, just for everybody. I was listening to something Kiwi Tech was doing because of obviously your athlete-owned sports, and you were on a webinar, and I was just so enthralled with when you were talking and the way that you were putting things. It was just enthralling for me. And I remember reaching out on LinkedIn thinking, ah, no, he's never going to come on our show. He's never, he's a big Hall of Famer. He's huge in the football industry in Canada. He's not going to do that. And then you replied to me and said, yeah, yeah, of course I'll come on your podcast. It was brilliant.
That's it. That's it. You know, we share stories, we share good times, and that's the way we should be as people. And especially in the world today, the one thing that does unite people is sports. And that's what we want to do. We want to unite people, and we want to lead people back to that common ground to just shed some positive light on the world.
Yeah.
Right. You look at when the world kind of fell apart is when sports kind of had to sit down for a second, and then everybody focused on everything else, all the problems in the world. And we've seen how it affected everyone.
Yeah.
Right. You focused on the, you know, politicians, and you focused on, you know, some injustices and things like that. Not saying that we shouldn't focus on those things, but it's just when you focus on everything that's negative in the world and you don't have anything positive that you're waking up to on a daily basis, right? You're not looking forward to rooting your favorite team on. You're not looking forward to seeing your favorite players play. You're not looking forward to seeing these different things and these interactions that create joy in your in your life as a fan, you know, and even as a player. You're not being able to put on those events and being able to go out there and entertain people, because that's what you truly are as an entertainer. Yeah. It just makes a huge difference in everybody's life.
And you're a footballer, but you I know that you use the word athlete, and I know that you look at your, and I heard you talk and you say, I'm an athlete, and very much you are an athlete, and it's nice to hear that. When you were growing up, and I'm going to take you back there, because I want for people to listen to. I want to listen. I want to get over what it was like when who was the ones that thought that you had a future in football. What did they say to you, and how did they get you encouraged into that?
Well, growing up, I played everything. My first sport was soccer or football there. That was my first sport, and played baseball and basketball was my favorite sport. And I played football in the fourth grade. That was the first time I played. It was like the last sport out of all the major sports that I played. And I ran track in high school and things, but I didn't want to play football in high school. It was one of those things where in Texas, kind of like Qatar, it gets very hot in the summer. And I didn't want to play. I didn't like being outside very much. And my high school football coach said, he was the athletic director, so he ran all the sports. He oversaw all the sports, but he was the head football coach. And just said, well, you can't play basketball if you don't play football. And so I went on to play football. And basketball has always been my number one love of sports, and it still is to this day. I was fortunate to play in a basketball all-star game and a football all-star game coming out of high school. I got MVP of the football all-star game, and the basketball all-star game, since I wasn't 6 foot, I was like one of three guys under 6 foot in the hole on both teams. And, you know, it was an uphill battle. I thought I played well, but, you know, as far as from the coach's standpoint, different things. There was other people already had scholarships and things, so they got catered to a little bit more than I did. And it allowed me to make my decisions a little bit easier to go and play football from that point on.
You said about the decisions. Was that you said it was an easier decision. It must have been a tough decision, though.
It was. It was a very tough decision. I mean, I remember breaking down to my mom after the game, just like, you know, I felt like at practice, we practiced twice, and we played in the basketball all-star game, and I felt like I was one of the best ones there. And I knew I was an athlete. I knew I could play. And, you know, that was one of the first times that I didn't really get the opportunity to do everything that I do. And I just thought that maybe if that was going to be the case, now growing up in life, you just understand everyone's not the same, right? Certain people get utilized in certain places, and certain people do things, right? So, but I made the best decision for me. And, yeah, I'm happy with what happened after that.
And was it the first time you played football? Because I played rugby, and we don't have all the paddings. And you've heard it all before. Yeah, that's you've got all the paddings on, but that's a pretty tough game you're playing there.
It is. It is. And you know, they've thought about taking the face mask back off of the helmets in football because of with the padding, people do turn into crash test dummies, and they do tend to hit people a lot harder. Throw their body into things, and it tends to create bigger collisions than in rugby. Rugby's such a pure sport where there's tackling. You're a good tackler. You're a good runner. You do things in a pure form. Football tends to be a little bit more. You do things that's unpure. You know, you're doing these leaping things. You're catching. You're running. It's not just about tackling. You're trying to hit somebody as hard as you can. And there's a lot of different variables in there, but both entertaining sports.
And with your, because I find it fascinating. I think it must be a really team orientated sport, because when you've got a runner that's received, or you're on the offensive, you all swarm together and they're all trying to take the opposition out so that you could have a clear run. What is it like to be in a team like that?
You know, it's really more chess than checkers. It's really a hard concept to understand for a lot of people, because football, they see it's like, okay, the ball goes here, this person does this, but there's so much detail in it, right? You have your O-line that has to block, and they have to figure out how they're going to block the D-line. Then you have your running back that has to do his job, whether it's running the ball or blocking. And then the receivers have to do their job, whether it's running the ball, but getting open. And as a receiver, your job is not to get open every play. Your job is to get someone else open 90% of the time. And then you hope they run just as hard to get you open when it's your turn to get the ball. And then the quarterback just kind of shuffles the deck, right? So reads the defense, sees where the best place for the ball to go. And it's all probability, right? Football's broken down into probability of you running a certain defense and the offense expecting that defense to be able to get the ball to where they want it to go. And it's really fun, and it's really strategic in that form. And that's why I love football now is I guess as a kid, I'd never seen it as a strategy. I just seen it as give me the ball and I'll go do something great. But as you get older and everyone gets better, it becomes true strategy.
What do you think you would have done if you weren't into sport?
My dream job was coaching. I always wanted to be a coach, and that was what I wanted to do is coach. And my degree in college was going in that direction to coach. And I had the ability to do that 2 years ago in the CFL, coach professionally. I got to coach the running backs, and that was really fun for me.
Yeah. And I want to go back to the football, because I'm excited about this. And I always try to put myself into the guest position. And I've played a bit of sport, but not to that level, of course. But I'm just trying to think the when you're making that decision, I'm going to run for this. This is mine. Or what is it like to kind of know that you could be absolutely smashed, but you're going to make it? And what was it like? Tell me one of those touchdowns that you scored that is going to stay with you forever.
Well, to the first question, I think the biggest thing for me was turning off my brain. In the off season, I prepared my body to do everything it needed to do. And so once the play starts, it's no more thinking. You know what you need to do. You know what you need to accomplish. Let your body react and go do it. And I think that's what allowed me to do some of the things, because I didn't think about what I was going to do once the play started. Once the play started, it was no more thoughts in it. It was only about action and my body. I trusted my body. I prepared it well to play. And secondly, I think it's always my first touchdown will stand out. You know, my first game of my career, I scored my first touchdown on my last catch, and I run to the goal post and I hit it and bounce off of it, and I do the Ric Flair. I did my little three steps, and then, so it was one of those things that it always stands out, because that was that's where it started. And what a ride and a joy that was for 14 years.
what is it? I see this with so many top sportsmen. How, what's it like to deal, because you're doing all those things and you're winning the games and you're kind of, you've achieved so much in the game of the football. What's it like with the fans? What's it like to not have a personal life?
Well, for me, I did. I had all of it because I didn't meet fans. I met friends, and I've always enjoyed interacting with fans. I've always enjoyed interacting with people. I think people are the best education you can get. You know, just getting so much knowledge from the people around you. What do they think different than you or the same as you? There's always something to learn from everybody you meet. And that's the way I carried myself. So whether it was standing with the Grey Cup after my last Grey Cup win in Calgary, on the street in Calgary for 2 hours signing autographs and taking pictures with people, or no matter what it was that's what we did it for. Right. We did it for the fans. We're truly entertainers, and it takes more than, you know, a great player, you know, to, you can watch anybody play on TV, but there's certain people that you say, I got to see them in person. I have to buy a ticket. Right. You know, there's a couple of those soccer players that you like, when they come here, I have to watch this game. Right. I don't want to watch it from my couch. I want to watch them in person. I want to say I was there when something special happened. When some event happened, you know where you were when Michael Jordan was on the court, right? Or LeBron James now, or you know, whatever, Pat Mahomes in football and some of these other great athletes. You wanted to be in that building to say you saw it live, right? And that's where the true entertainers come out.
Yeah, I was watching one of your, you were being interviewed by, what was his name as well? Rod Pederson. And he was having questions coming in, and they were all saying, there was some saying, you did it in Calvary, you did it. Oh, it must be a magical feeling. Was that a lot of response? Did you, and I know that you say about your friends, and that's why I was so privileged when you said you'd come on the show. But was it a big responsibility that you were a role model, and you were a role model for, it must have been so many kids. What responsibility was that? Did you feel the pressure?
It was very hard. Being 21, 22 years old, coming into pro football and getting and having success early, right? Not growing to success, but I was pretty successful from the, I started my first game in the CFL, and I was always, you know, progressing from there. So it was a lot of responsibility. It took a lot out of me. And I created this thing called closing the gap. I wanted to close the gap between the fan and the athlete, because I didn't want fans to put me on a pedestal. I wanted them to see me for who I was, the faults I had, the good, the bad, whatever. Because what I seen people around me that would get put on pedestals, and then something happened to them, and then everybody talks bad about them and rips it away. It was scary. As a young athlete, it was like, okay, I know I'll go out and drink after games, or I know, you know, whatever, but I didn't want people to not know that about me. So I was very open with my life. I was very open when I met fans and talked to them about certain things, because I wanted to close that gap so that, one, I didn't need to be on a pedestal, and two, I didn't want you to try to take away my career because something might have happened along the way. I'm glad nothing did, but I just wanted to make sure that, you know, that you knew who I was.
You were blessed with a long career, right?
14 years.
Yeah. How did you keep yourself... Firstly, I'm going to go back, because you were saying that you managed it quite well, and it was a huge responsibility. Did the parents have a... I know that... I'm sorry, so sorry to hear about your mother, and it must be a...
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. But they must have been such an influence as well to keep you grounded, right?
Yes. It was actually a joy. I talk about all the time how they'd come to Calgary, and the people were just so loving and kind to them. It made me feel so good to know they were taken care of no matter where we went. And, you know, they enjoyed coming to Canada. They still come to Canada. My dad does now. And it's one of those things to where you truly respect that, right? my dad walking around the stadium and seeing people wearing my jersey, right? He just, like, it's so surreal to see how many people are buying this jersey to wear our name, right? And to represent what we represent. I think that's a very special thing. And, you know, the New Zealand All Blacks always have they have that saying about their jersey of being a portal into a different world. And I've always seen it as that. It's a portal. It's not just a jersey. It's something so much more. And, you know, I've always tell people all the time when I see them wearing my jersey, I say, I appreciate you caring about me enough to represent my name and my family.
Can you remember the first times? And I remember when my uncle came to watch me at my first game, and it was a magical feeling. But what was it like for you when your parents came to a game that there would have been thousands of people watching? Was it?
You know what? I think I lost one game in my career when my mom came to watch me play.
Oh,
right. So I think that was it. And then, but for the rest of the times, it was great having them in the stands, just knowing they were there. My mom was always a screamer. She always yelling at the refs, yelling, you know, and doing everything. And so it was always fun to have them be there and be a part of just every step of the way, right? Always having support. You can't do it by yourself. You need a great friend base and family base to be able to survive pro sports. There's so many variables in it, right? From people coming out of the woodworks to different things coming at you from business and everything else. So you definitely need a great support staff to be able to withstand it.
And you know, we hear so much of this about the mental health situation where people are struggling with this area more. Is it more now, or is it just a matter of time now and we're calling it a different thing? Was it always there when you began the football, or in a different way, or how do people cope with it now?
I think it's a lot harder now when you have social media. Social media is something that, you know, I blocked a guy one time on social media because he said something about me on Twitter, and I blocked him, and his friend says, hey, why'd you block my friend? Like, you're a pro athlete. We can say whatever we want to say to you. And I was like, it's my page. I can read what I want to read. If I don't want to read that crap, I'm not going to read it, and I don't have to. So, you know, it's one of the biggest things is just understanding that, you know, we are entertainers, and we go out to entertain you. I understood that you pay great money to come watch us perform, to come be in that stadium, to pay for parking, pay for those expensive hot dogs and beers. And I want to put on a show for you. If you came to see me or not, my goal was to put on a show for you. I wanted to make it worth it for you. So regardless of, you know, going back and forth with a fan and having fun during the game, but as long as we're respectful, I'm okay with going back and forth with fans, but when you get disrespectful, I'm not going to read it. I'm not going to put up with it. But you see a lot of these young guys now. You see even Kevin Durant, who goes to a lot of social media stuff. And it's just it's very hard when everything comes at you. You drop a game-winning pass or miss a shot or do something. Like, you have hundreds of thousands of people, if not millions, depending on who you are, talking negatively about you or to you. And you got to wade through that to go and do it again.
Would your advice to be to young athletes, young sports people, would it be just don't get involved? I know there's a requirement. It's sometimes the job that you've got to do, and it's part of that entertainment. But would your advice be to somebody to try to stay away from it as much as possible? Focus on the things that you can change, like being on the pitch.
You know, and I think social media can be really good for you. I think you just have to understand your mentality and what your capacity to handle those things, right? If you can't handle some of those issues, just then stay away from it. But if you can, and you can figure out ways to wade through all of the crap to get to the good, then it could be very beneficial for you, because that's where you can truly find a place to become bigger. You know, you can be the people that interact with people, right? I've had fans say, you know, I don't even watch football, but after seeing interactions with you on Twitter, now I watch it. right? So you have the ability to bring change people's lives and bring them into the new sport. You just have to be able to do that. And like I said, not everybody there is out to get you or to talk trash to you. But yeah, if you can wade through it, I think you can gain some new fans and do better.
Yeah, that's great advice. That is great advice. And again, if you focus on those things that, that keep you leveled, and that you you do spend time, because people will see that you spending 2 hours seeing the football fans afterwards, that must be a hell of a reward for them to for you to have taken time out and spent that effort. It's great. What was and going on from that is it before we go on to your business, which I'm intrigued to learn more about, what in your football career, and I know that there's going to be loads of people now, because we'll try and get this people watching it in Canada and everywhere, but they're going to say, you should have talked more about the football. You should have talked more about the football. And yes, I should have done. But the one thing that I do, it was when I saw you on that that webinar, I just wanted to talk to you. I wanted to find out a bit about your story. And believe me, I'm not shortchanged right now. You are a fantastic guy. And the way that you've put your effort in is brilliant. What were those... There's two things I want to ask you. And I'll say this. We've been talking nice in that, how much effort you put in. Why do you say that you... I've seen that interview, and you say you were selfish. You said it.
Yeah.
Why is that? Why you're not a self... You don't strike me as a selfish person. What did you mean? I didn't watch it too much, but what did you mean by that?
Well, in two ways. One, football is a selfishly... You have to be selfish in pursuit of your own goals, while being unselfish in the pursuit of championships, right? And that's in every sport, you know, in soccer or in basketball. You can be selfish and want to reach a goal target, right? But you have to understand when you need to pass the ball to win a game and not go after a personal goal, right? So you have to be selfish and unselfish. And also, it's selfish that in my life that everything was built around me, right? From the start of my pro football career, my friends and families had to adjust to me and my schedule and everything else. So that becomes very selfish, right? I can't think about you when I have to think about how I can go out and perform or how I can get ready to play and all these other things. And those create those selfish times in life that surround me being able to go out and do what I've done over my career to get to this point. And that's where I believe I was selfish. And but I think you have to be. I think you have to be. And I think the people around you have to understand what the end goal is. And for me, making it to the Hall of Fame, that's where it truly now becomes, this is what your sacrifices did for allowing me to be selfish in my approach to the game, to prepare myself and to be as great as I was. This is what happened because of it. And this is my thank you to you.
I'm so glad I asked the question, because it just now makes perfect sense, because I saw a little bit of that interview and I'm thinking, why is he selfish? Everything tells me he's not. But what you said there, and we're going to go on to business side, and there must be such a close... Anyway, I'm getting carried away. That is so right. You have to be so selfish. You've got to go for what you've always believed in and what you're trying to achieve. But it doesn't stop you from trying to help others too. Because if you're not driven, you're not going to help others. You're not going to get to where you wanted to go. That's really good. And I'm going to finish we're not going to finish, by the way. We're going to look at just one area where, what was that biggest thrill that you got with football?
The biggest thrill is always from the fans, coming out, seeing the fans and just interacting. Just the interactions with the fans, from being on the road and doing a first down, you know, putting my hands up and saying first down or something and hearing the boos, or getting up and doing it at home and you're hitting it and then you hit the cheers. It's just all the fan interaction that there was, and just, you know, talking to my teammates and doing different things. That's the biggest thing that I miss today, is the locker room interaction on a daily basis. And just the interactions with the fans, because you knew every little thing you did was going to kind of make the fans you know, cheer you or boo you, and you're becoming that villain or you're becoming that hero, and you're kind of playing within that scheme of things. And that's part of being the entertainer. I grew up watching wrestling, the WWE. So a lot of the things that I did from creating characters that I was going to be, or being able to do those things and kind of pull those strings in ways, it improved the entertainment value, right? Yeah. Because now people come up to me on a daily basis from all the other teams I didn't play for and say, I used to hate you, but now I don't, or I used to hate you, but, you know, so it's always that because of I was always the villain, but then the teams I played for, they always loved me. So, and now that I don't play anymore, they can all love me, and it's good. So, yeah, it's just about playing that role within that character being on the field. It's truly a character move. And that's the way I play football, is I created characters every year and I'd go out and execute it to become that.
You are a legend. You are. And this has been an absolute joy for me. Now I'm going to get into the stuff that I like also. And I want to ask you, with going into your business side, as we can see in the background, Athlete Owned Sports TV. Now, but before I get there, how close is running a business and being an athlete? How close is that together?
Well, there's no stability. Every day changes. You know, from an athlete in football, without guaranteed contracts and everything, every day you're playing for your job, you understand they're out preparing to replace you on a daily basis or a yearly basis, and you have to come back better because they're thinking they're bringing in someone to replace you every year, right? No matter how good you are or how great you are, you can always be replaced, and they're always expecting your downfall, especially once you get back. Once you get past like 7-8 years, they're like, okay, we don't know if you're going to make it. We don't know if you're going to make it. So you have to keep proving yourself and proving yourself. It's the same as a business owner. It's a, there's not a lot of stability, and every day you're trying to guide through, and you have to lead a team, right, that depends on you. And the cool part about AO Sports and myself is I'm leading a team of men and women from different backgrounds, from a lawyer to a guy who runs his own media company for over 20 years and 30 years media experience, and tech guys and different athletes from multiple sports. So when you're leading these people and they're all accomplished and they all are, you know, eight of my 9 advisory board members are CEOs of their own company, right? So for me to be the leader of these people, I have to instill confidence in a direction, and I have to show them that, you know what, I'm not afraid to compete with anyone. So if anybody says they're doing the same thing, let's go. I can compete. And the biggest thing is I can instill confidence in a team, but I know the best part is I get to play my role. I've proven that over 26 years of football that I played, and I excelled at the sport because you gave me a task, you gave me a role, and I was able to execute it at a high level. And that's what I do in my business. As a CEO, I allow my team, I just give them direction. I allow them to make executive decisions from the media, the tech, different things like that, because how can I tell a guy with 30 years media experience that we should do something different? The only thing we can do is have a conversation. I can share my ideas, and he can share his, and we can come to an understanding. And he has precedence, and he understands that he's valuable because I need to lean on him in the media space, right? And he's empowered now to be him and make us better. And I'm not going to limit us because of my limited knowledge in that space. I'm okay with him leading that and me just overseeing it, right?
It was listening to what you, and I didn't really appreciate what you had to go for. You had 14 years at top professional football, and at the 7-year point, they were looking up to you and saying, that was a saying that you might not be there, or you were always trying to have to prove yourself after the seven year mark. That's so much pressure. But that must be why you're doing so well now. And I know this because of the podcast, the webinar that I saw before, is that you've only been going, you've not been going long, but everybody in the industry is saying, where have they come from?
Yes. And that's what we wanted to happen. And, you know, one of the biggest things for us in my football career, in training camp, we used to install a lot of plays, right? So 60, 70 plays you install at night, you have to be able to run them the next day. For a lot of guys coming in to training camp as young, it's not their talent that sends them home. It's their inability to learn something and go and do it consistently on a basis. And a lot of the vets used to ask me, why do you help them? Why at practice do you go up to them and make sure they know what they're doing on the field? They're trying to take your job. So why are you helping them? And I said, well, I need the strongest team around me, one. And two, I'm not afraid to compete with them because I know I can be better than them. And I said, I don't want to win this job because they don't know what they're doing. Right?
Yeah.
And then also I care about them that even if you don't make this team, you can go make a team.
Yeah.
Right? And that's where the benefit comes from. So you can't be afraid to compete in this world. You can't be afraid to help people.
Nick, I want to be your friend. I want to be your friend. Let me tell you, you are a top man. So with this, tell us a little bit about what you're doing with AO Sports.
So AO Sports, I just looked and there's not a great place to monetize for sports content creators and athletes. And right now there's only YouTube, and YouTube is not a good monetization system. I see so many great athletes doing Facebook Lives and Instagram Lives that are not receiving any pay for it. So AO Sports is a under $10 a month subscription. We're going to be global, and you're going to get shows from your favorite athletes and content creators, and they own their shows. We're not Netflix. We don't buy your show. We just allow you to distribute your show here, and you get paid more. Our payment structure is probably 10 to 20 times what YouTube is. And that's why we've gotten all the athletes from NFL Hall of Famers. Today, I'm about to send over the contract for Terrence Bud Crawford, the number two pound-for-pound boxer in the world that's joining AO Sports. We've got some of the top rugby players. We're going to have women's voices get heard, not sitting between two guys talking about sports, but they're going to lead their own shows and lead with their own voices. And we're going to support them and do whatever we can to have everyone be able to create the content. And you don't have a boss telling you what you can and can't say. You can go lead your sports show. So we're going to have documentaries. Our four pillars of content is broadcast quality shows. So from our game day shows, documentaries, reality shows, different things like that. Anything you see on TV now, we can do 4K and down. Live events. We're going to be hosting live events. Live at the Grey Cup, Super Bowl. I'm hoping to get to Qatar next year for some World Cup action. And please, we're going to be doing everything.
You're going to be looked after, Nick. I'm telling you that now. You're going to be looked after. And Nick, I really, 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 really do want you to help me do something with the young athletes here. You are an inspiration. You are an inspiration. And you're making a difference. And that's where I'm getting excited now, and I'm getting kind of – the podcast was there to shine a light on people that was making a huge difference. And I'm privileged that you're one of our guests. But there's so many young stars and young athletes and that need to be those role models, because people are going to start looking up to them, and we need to give them a pedestal to stand on. We need to shout from the rooftops and give them a spotlight to stand under, because they're doing a fantastic job. Not just athletes, there's coaches, there's parents, there's so many people within the industry that are making a huge difference. And I hope you can help us here. I say, hey, I love Qatar. I think Qatar is an amazing place. And we need to give, I want to help those athletes and those people that are taking sport as a livelihood, that are pushing their bodies on a daily basis. They're pushing themselves.
I'd love to bring a team to Qatar next year and to be able to put on some events and do some things for the youth and the younger generations, and be able to just have fun and meet new people and meet new friends. And, you know, what we're doing inside of our platform, we're in those live events, we're creating mentorship programs with athletes leading and leadership boot camps and doing different things to have a better presence and a more positive presence for the athletes that we'll be able to do right inside of AO Sports. And then podcasts and videocasts are going to be easily imported if people want to go exclusively through AO Sports. And then Our last is called AO Evolve, and that's your personal evolution. So how are you evolving as a person mentally, physically, and, you know, business structure? So it's going to incorporate everything to help young athletes with business. It's going to be able to help young athletes with skill work. So if you want to learn skills from some of the top players or be a part of some of the top training facilities in the world and do some of these different things on in a virtual setting, you're going to have that opportunity now. And we just want to give more knowledge and understanding, but also we have to give ourselves. And the only way you can do that is to truly be your own boss, right? And for these athletes, they can truly set their narrative now and let the world see who they are and just become bigger and better and get more out of it, because we have to leave a footprint. If you're not leaving a footprint, then you're not going to help.
Yep. And that word legacy, we've all got one. And don't be afraid of it. It's not too big. It's not too big, that word legacy.
Not too big.
We've all got, exactly. It's not to anybody. You've got one. Make a difference. Even if it's just a handshake or a smile, let somebody's day be a better day. You know, and I'm so lucky and privileged. We are on this show today. We're lucky and privileged to have you on here because
you
epitomize everything that we should be trying to do. And as you said, sport is a great leveler. We come together, we play together, we shake each other's hands, no matter what color, nationality we are, because we are going to play together and we're going to be a team.
Yep.
You're brilliant. Honestly, it's been an absolute joy. And I hope I'm here for you. Anything you need here in this area, I'm behind you. I'm following you. I'm going to do everything I can to help, because you and your platforms are going to help so many. And that's what life is all about. Good on you.
That's what we're looking to do, man. Just make our difference. And like you said, that word legacy. You know, you can't be afraid of the word. You have to go and set your legacy. And you have to understand that when you're in a position, that a lot of things that you do makes a difference. And this past weekend, I was playing in a celebrity all-star game here in Dallas. And I got to play with my childhood hero, Mike Wirvin of the Dallas Cowboys. And to sit there and talk to him and walk around with him and do all these things. And I think the most impactful thing is, I didn't have to tell him how much a difference he made, right? The most impactful thing is he never had to know me personally. He never had to shake my hand as a kid. He never had to do any of those things for me to be better and to have the drive to want to be him and want to be better, right? And that's just it, right? So, no, it's almost like a full circle moment to now go into the Hall of Fame, but to be in that situation where we're around those caliber players. Ezekiel Elliott played in it, and, you know, joking around with him and doing those things. So it's great to be where I am now, where I get to support the younger athletes and just get to be a fan like everybody else and just see where we can help and how much of a difference we can make. And like I said, it's all about bringing that positivity back into the world, because sports is a uniter, right? It's not a divider, like a lot of things in life. So we have to lean on our sports. So if you can come to AO Sports, it's going to be a positive platform, and it's going to have sports stars from around the world. And you're going to be able to see how all of them interact and be able to interact with people and do different things. And you're just going to be in this world where just, or you can explore and you can just enjoy what's going on.
Nick, you deserve everything that's coming to you. Honestly,
thank you, brother.
Congratulations on the Hall of Fame. Congratulations on your business. Congratulations on all the things that you're doing. You are a legend. And it's been a privilege for me to interview you today. I know your mum's going to be watching out. And I can't wait to watch those videos myself, because I'll be watching too somewhere. Brilliant. Honestly, thank you so much for coming on and spending some time with us and leading us with what you're saying. Everybody, thanks for listening today. I know that you're going to enjoy it as much as I did. There were so many messages there. And listen, Nick's a big star. He is a big star. But you can be a big star too to somebody. Okay? You can go out there and you can make those differences. Okay? You can. Just get out there and try. Anyway, thanks ever so much. Sure. Nick, again, thank you very much for coming on the show. Everybody, until next week.
Thanks for having me.
Everyone, thank you for listening.
please send us your feedback on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. And don't forget to review us on your favorite podcast app.